Hey, Anton.
Yeah, Margaret?
You know what people don't talk about enough?
What?
The dirt on Eric's casket. Welcome to People Don't Talk About Young Royals. I'm Margaret. My pronouns are they, them.
And I'm Anton. My pronouns are he, they.
And we're people here to discuss the show our friends are sick of hearing us talk about.
If that sounds like you, stick around. If your friend sent you this podcast out of a desperate attempt to get you to watch Young Royals, take this as a sign.
Go watch Young
Although,
Royals. What?
Proceed with caution. Sorry. This is, considering what episode we're talking about, proceed with caution on this episode in particular.
Ruh-roh shaggy.
Anyways, you were saying, Margaret?
Go watch Young Royals and come back to this podcast.
Margaret, what are we talking about today?
Today we will be providing a summary of the events of Young Royals Season 1, Episode 4.
Yay!
I don't know if it's a yay.
That's why I said it really disappointedly. All right. We are not a substitute for watching the actual show. These summaries serve to give us a baseline for later discussions about what happened on the show. Everything we will be describing is portrayed infinitely better on screen, so if you haven't seen Young Royals and any of what we say sounds interesting, we advise you to pause the stream and go watch the show immediately. Then come back to this episode of the podcast if you want our personal breakdown of events. With that said, let's get into Season 1, Episode 4. Let's get ready.
It's right from the jump. All right,
it's this one, folks.
here we are.
The cycle where everyone cries all the time.
The cycle that us. Anton and I legitimately tried to figure out the logistics of if we could record the whole cycle in 2 days, just so that we didn't have to experience.
Both
it.
Of us have jobs, so that's not possible. But it
no. Both of us have jobs, and as I just told Anton, I'm a masochist and started taking more college courses. So,
let's get into the episode.
All right, so we're starting right from the beginning, and we see Wilhelm, as it opens, he's walking down a dark aisle. He's wearing a black suit with a white shirt and a white tie. He has a very sad, broken look on his face, and then as he's walking up, we see that he's walking up to a casket with the flag of Sweden over it and a small pile of dirt. Pile of dirt, that was our cold open. Willa puts his head down on the casket and hugs it and puts his fingers into the dirt pile. And in voiceover, we hear several of the interactions between Wilhelm and Eric throughout the previous 3 episodes. Then we see the church being full of people with Eric's casket at the front and organ music playing. Wilhelm and his parents stand at the front and off to the left side as people walk in to carry the casket out. As Wilhelm has tears in his eyes and his mother is wiping tears away, everybody stands. The casket is being lifted out of the church and Wilhelm's mom prompts him to walk after. He follows the casket and his parents follow him. And the title card plays over Wilhelm walking out of the church.
And the title card slowly builds on the screen, and it is empty.
Yes, it is empty. So that we can see him almost crying all the way down the aisle.
And he is empty. And he is empty, so the title screen is empty.
And he is empty, so the title screen is empty.
Okay.
Yeah. If anybody is following our threads and saw every time Margaret has emotions they feel nauseous, just know I'm very nauseous. Then we cut to Simon checking his phone, and we see that he's been watching the news coverage of the funeral while texting Wilhelm, thinking of you, new text, how are you Wilhelm, or Willa, new text, I'm here for you, new text, getting worried, are you okay? And then we see the fact that the whole Hilarishka crew is watching the funeral as well, and Felice wipes tears from her face.
And I'm forgetting the name of it, but whatever song kind of like non-diegetically plays over
that
these
is true.
Series
I forgot
of scenes fades.
Yes.
And we cut to that night and just kind of the ambient noise of Willa walking with two small bowls through a kitchen slash dining room at the palace. His father, the Duke, sets something else on the table just as he is the first to politely and numbly sit down in his chair. Diagonal across the square table, one of the four place settings is empty. At this moment, his mother, Christina, walks into the room, immediately addressing Wilhelm, all business. With only the faintest hint of self-consciousness, she floats the idea of Wilhelm attending her morning meeting with the royal court tomorrow, if he feels like it, if he feels okay, end quote. Or if it feels okay, end quote, to see how it works. Wilhelm agrees without feeling. Duke Ludwig approves of this plan as they all converge on the table. The Duke then changes the subject to talk about Villa's school situation. He suggests that it would be good for Wilhelm to return to Hallerska, quote, a familiar environment. Christina seems a little rocked by this, looking to a neutral-faced and dead-eyed Wilhelm before deeply considering this proposal. Ludwig asks her what she thinks, and Christina does not respond to the question at hand. Instead, she muses aloud about how, ever since she was born, she knew she would inherit the crown from her father. But she had time to prepare herself, and so did Eric. But now, she tells Wilhelm, it's him and his future children that will succeed her. So, it's really important that he is a role model. No more mistakes. And people will always compare him to Eric. Every step he takes. With a blank expression that's suffused with so much sadness. Wilhelm softly responds, that's already the case. It always has been. Wilhelm's father looks somewhat harshly at him for his tone, but doesn't dispute this. Christina wells up with tears and spits out her salad into her napkin before excusing herself from the table. Villa does not seem to register that the hurt he just unintentionally caused, just believing that he was being honest. I'm so sorry for making you cry.
Yeah, fuck you, man.
Fuck me for being a good writer.
Yeah, fuck you for being an English major. Yeah. Jesus. All right. Okay. We're in the Ericsson's house again, and we see on the TV a news report, Prince Wilhelm will succeed the title of Crown Prince and future king. The Crown Prince will be studying at Hallerska, as did his brother. The Ericsson family is watching this news while Simon is on his phone laying on the couch. He gets an alert that August sent him That says 500 kronos. I was reading Percy Jackson.
500 kronos?
I was like, damn. They're going to be in for a bad book five. It's an alert that August sent 500 kronos and a text from August that says, I know I owe you more, but I can't do anything about it. Sorry. Linda is looking through the mail. She pages through a magazine and looks up at the TV and says, poor boy, referring to the news in Wilhelm. Simon asks them to change the channel. Neither Sarah nor Linda respond. Linda opens the next piece of mail, and it's an invoice from Hallerska. It's the 5,500... It says Kronos again. Kronos. from the tutoring that Simon did. Simon adjusts himself on the couch to sit up more and says that he needed tutoring. Linda and Sarah look at him very confused, and Linda asks why he would need tutoring, and Simon said he got a C on his last
math
test. Okay, he got a C on his last math test. Linda says, then study harder. And Simon tries to explain that the teachers give you better grades if you pay for a tutor. It's like an extra credit. Linda is visibly upset when she says, in real life, you don't pay to get ahead. Simon says that he knows, and Linda is getting progressively more upset when she says, how often have I told you? Simon cuts her off to say that he knows, and Linda asks how they're going to pay for this. Simon rips the invoice out of her hand and says he'll take care of it. And Linda, being even more angry, says, how, Simon, how will you take care of it?
As some of the show's theme music kicks up, we cut to August working out in the gym, shirtless and deadlifting in front of the mirror while staring at himself with merciless determination. From the back, at a distance, we see him set the weight down. Then we cut to August studying his body in the mirror and recording it on his phone. trigger warning for body dysmorphia. After a solid pinch of his skin, August deflates, clearly unhappy with what he sees, despite being extremely muscular. He returns to deadlifting a little more desperately when his phone vibrates and he ruefully is forced to stop again. Picking up his phone, he answers an incoming call from an unknown number, putting it on speaker. He brusquely asks who is calling, and we hear Queen Christina respond, "August?" in a tone that mildly suggests she doesn't like how she was just spoken to. In a panicked frenzy, August bends down to turn the phone off speaker and set it to his ear. In a matter of moments, he is someone else, an easy, charming smile on his face, as he greets Christina over the phone with a deferential, "Her Majesty." Cut to Forest Ridge, where August rushes into the living room as Nils and Vincent are playing a game of chess. He addresses Vincent with the utmost seriousness. He tells him to come outside the room with him. Vincent says he'll be there in just a minute, but August says it has to be now. It's important. Vincent asks what it could possibly be, wondering what could be so high stakes. He tells him to chill and that they're playing a game. August proceeds to slide a hand across the chessboard, destroying the entire game's progress. "I mean now," he says. As Vincent gets up without another protest, August clarifies to Nils that he just needs Vincent. When Nils asks why, August says this doesn't concern him. As his two best friends leave, Vincent offers Nils a quick apology, and Nils registers another student looking over at the unfolding drama with interest. Embarrassed and irritated, Nils just scoffs. Cut to the stairwell outside, where August reveals that Wilhelm is coming back to school. Not only that, but the queen has asked him personally to help look after the new crown prince. Flush with smug pride, August insists that Wilhelm needs his brothers. He orders Vincent to gather, quote, the society. It's time to welcome a new member. Vincent shakes August's hand, telling him he's on it.
And then we hear music playing as Wilhelm is being driven up the driveway to Hilerska. This time he's being driven by security guard and he's in the back seat. The headmistress, and is it Boris or is it like his... I can't tell if it's Boris or if it's the guy.
If it's what I'm remembering correctly, I think it's probably the housemaster.
I think you're right.
Like, either the housemaster or Boris. Either would make sense in this instance. I know later it's the housemaster when he's moving into his room, but...
Yeah.
I
can't remember which one it was.
Somebody who... Yes.
It was one of those two. are waiting for him. The driver opens the car door for Wilhelm, and he steps out wearing this time, blue suit. The headmistress says welcome back and offers her condolences. Wilhelm does not say anything as he just walks through the door. He walks down a hallway where some students are lining the hall, and we see the students gathering in the room. At the end of the hall, stand up. August and Felisa are among the students standing in the hallway. August puts his hand on Willa's head and rests his forehead against Wilhelm's. As Villa,
this opened. Totally doesn't matter. Nope. It is Boris outside. Yes,
it's Boris.
I just checked Netflix. Right. I just checked
Boris
Netflix.
And the headmistress.
I completely interrupted you. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Then Felice gives him a hug, and August puts his hand on Felice's back after a few seconds, which causes Felice to then pull away.
August is like essentially Wilhelm like walks... that's enough.
Yeah. Wilhelm walks into the room with the rest of the students, takes off his jacket, and sits down. The choir walks in, and Simon looks worried, sad, upset, mad. I can't really tell a lot of feelings he's having. The choir sings the song Remember. Wilhelm does not make eye contact with Simon while he's singing for the first time in this series. And August looks over at Wilhelm from where he's sitting next to him.
As the Hilerska Choir's performance of Remember fades out, we cut to Wilhelm rising up from his seat beside August. Positioning himself before the entire student body, he reaches into his pocket to pull out a folded piece of paper provided by the palace. It's literally like palace letterhead. Unfolding it and fixing his hair to keep it from his face, he starts his speech by thanking the choir for their beautiful song, already somewhat struggling to maintain conviction in his words. Now definitely reading from the prepared speech, Wilhelm thanks everyone for extending their condolences at this difficult time. Wilhelm then stares down at the paper in silence, sighs deeply, then folds the paper up again. One girl in the audience softly gasps. Several others are sniffling, and at least one person is wiping a tear from their eye. Up front, multiple girls are staring at him with supreme pity. But Wilhelm remains strong, because he has to. Stoically, and as diplomatically as he can, he says that it feels so wrong that he's the one still here, instead of him. There is a brief cut to Simon, his heart going out to Wilhelm, but knowing no way of actually comforting the guy he likes in secret, as he gives a public speech. Wilhelm continues, telling his peers that he knows Eric would have said, a small sigh, "What's the point of having a backup if you never use it?" This makes Wilhelm smile just a little, and in the audience, Simon smiles in kind. Wilhelm says that Eric was kind and thoughtful. He was his role model. With the return of the stoic severity that began the speech, Wilhelm vows that he is going to honor his brother's legacy. August watches as Wilhelm asserts that he will become a crown prince that his family can be proud of. Wilhelm stares down the student body one last time, and we cut to Simon again, this time looking a little worried. Sorry, guys. This is going to be a rough one.
This fucking sucks. This fucking sucks. We're only 11 minutes in. Goddamn. Okay.
To the episode, yeah.
No. Yeah, that's what I meant. Okay. Wilhelm is sitting in the same place he was while the choir performed, and we can see Simon walking into the room. He sits at the seat across the aisle from Wilhelm, facing him, but Wilhelm stays facing forwards. Wilhelm looks over for the briefest second before saying hi. Both are fidgeting with their hands as Simon starts to ask, how are you? Wilhelm immediately lies and says that he's okay. Yeah, just, you got something to say?
It's a repeat of the first episode. He did the same thing.
Yes, he did. Simon looks up and down a few times before saying, did you get my texts? Wilhelm looks down, wets his lips, before saying yes. He readjusts his posture a few times before saying he was going to text Simon back, but Simon cuts him off to say, it's cool, I totally get it. Wilhelm cuts him off to say that he wants Simon to delete their texts. Simon is confused and asks what. Wilhelm does not look at him again before he stands up, says he can't do this anymore, grabs his coat, and walks out the same door he walked in earlier.
Cut to Simon sadly listening to his earbuds in a window seat. Okay, I've said that way too happily. Okay.
Cut to Simon crying in the
club. Crying in the club. Okay.
Damn. Yeah.
Okay. Cut to Simon sadly listening to his earbuds in a window seat on the bus on the way home after the memorial. He turns from looking out the window to across the aisle and up a row, where Ayub and Rosh have either not seen him or pretend not to see him. As Ayub looks back at him, Simon looks away in time to not get caught. Ayub turns away too, believing that Simon is ignoring them. Simon's phone vibrates with an incoming text from Sarah, asking if their father Mika got in touch with him. With a plain look of concern on his face, he tells her, no? ! He briefly contemplates what all this could mean when Sarah messages again, revealing that Mika has told her he wants to meet up. Why? Uneasy and slipping into damage control, Simon tells her, OMG, what? Don't reply, before looking at the window with a whole new issue to dwell on. Yet another problem to deal with. Cut to Wilhelm, walking through a hallway of the Forest Ridge dorms, led by the principal Annette, and backed by a member of the royal security. As Annette opens a door at the far right end of the hall, we see the housemaster and another member of security posted up outside the room as well. Wilhelm mutely walks into a large double person dorm that has now been set aside just for him. Annette simply tells him, "We've arranged for you to have a bigger room, Crown Prince." Wilhelm continues to take it in with the same neutral expression and dead eyes he's had for most of the episode up to this point. He looks at the principal with the seeming intention to thank her, then says nothing and moves on. The housemaster assures Wilhelm that he's always here if Wilhelm needs him. Annette takes a step towards Villa, sympathetically saying his name. Then she stops herself, apologizing, then corrects herself, using his formal title, Krumpinsen. Only then does she continue, telling him with watery eyes that the memorial was quite beautiful, that it was brave to give that speech. Wilhelm softly thanks her, and Annette steps forward to place a hand on Villa's cheek. Wilhelm responds by wrapping the principal in a hug, surprising her, but one that she immediately reciprocates, holding the student that needs to be held. She clearly doesn't expect it to...
You think that was the first hug he got since Eric died?
Oh, no, sorry. Definitely. Definitely.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I think as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Annette, the principal, clearly doesn't expect to have the hug last for as long as it does. After a long moment, Villa pulls away, and Annette asks him to promise he'll let her know if there's anything she can do for him. Wilhelm says, "Thank you, principal," dutifully using her title as she has for him. Annette again affirms that she means anything, and leaves the room with the housemaster following behind her. The female security officer who had walked behind Wilhelm down the hallway, her blonde hair pulled back in a tight bun, tells Villa, "Crown Prince, we're here for you," before closing the door to his new dorm room, leaving him alone for possibly the first time since he found out Eric was dead. Wilhelm turns to his desk, where what little he had on the desk of his previous room has been moved over without much order. He picks up a familiar small snow globe, a frog prince inside, with swirls of blue glitter and small golden stars. He stubbornly fights his tears, sets the snow globe on the windowsill, and sits down on the bed behind him, now apparently his chosen one of the two available to him. Starting to fold in on himself, he panickedly takes off the blue scarf beneath his jacket and reaches into his pocket to retrieve his phone. Opening with purpose, he scrolls through his contacts until he reaches Simon's number. Before he can overthink anything, while on the verge of hyperventilating, Villa deletes the contact. Even when his phone asks him if he is sure, he follows through. He presses remove. He puts his phone back in his pocket and breathes deeply. With a fury, he unbuttons his collar in an attempt to breathe easier. He flashes back to Simon for kissing him. Villa presses his hands against his temples as he flashes back to Simon's forehead pressed against his. He stretches his arms up and out as far as he can get in the suit. He flashes back to Simon's pinky finger touching his hand, to Simon staring a few inches away from him. In the present, Wilhelm runs to the door, opens it, and barrels down the hall, right between his two security guards. They give each other a look and start to follow him. Sensing them behind him, he turns around, shouting and begging them to give him 1 second to himself. Please. The female guard agrees to do so, telling him she's terribly sorry. Wilhelm stumbles back, momentarily at a loss for what his life has turned into, before rushing through the door at the end of the hallway. His guards do not seem to follow.
Okay, and then we see Wilhelm walking down one of the paths outside of Hilerska, and he's walking over this like stone bridge that has a cutout under it. And in that cutout are Maddie and Felice, and they're doing a ritual. Maddie's reading from her phone. She reads, "Negative energy cannot stay." Felice sees Wilhelm walking and says hi, cutting Maddie off. Wilhelm turns around and says, "Hi, what are you doing?" And Felice puts her hand up to cover the soot over her forehead and says, "It's some kind of ritual, a cleansing ritual that she made me take part in." Wilhelm smiles for the first time this entire episode and says, "I see." Felice begins to apologize for the parents' day lunch, but Wilhelm closes his eyes, cuts her off, and says, "Don't worry about it. It's in the past." Felice says, "Great," and shivers. Wilhelm asks if she's cold, and Felice said she said the ritual would warm me up, referring to Maddie. Wilhelm starts taking off his jacket before she can even finish her sentence and puts it over her shoulders. Maddie speaks up to say that they have to finish the ritual, and Wilhelm says, "Sorry, that's my fault." Maddie says, "Yeah." Well, Felice laughs. Felice asks if Wilhelm wants to join us. He shrugs and says, "Sure, why not, if you'll have me," and follows Maddie and Felice into the cutout they were in previously. Wilhelm says, "I don't have any coal smeared on my forehead." And Maddie says, "Here you go." The shot is from a distance, but it looks like they put some on him. Maddie says, "Negative energy, I ban thee." And Wilhelm and Felice copy her, and they finish.
This isn't really a discussion thing, but just something I want to flag is what Maddie's motivation for this ritual is. And I have two ideas. One of them is sad and the other one's funny.
Okay, let's hear the sad one first.
Everyone is really depressed because of Eric's death. And she wants to be like negative energy, I ban thee, and like turn the mood around.
Yep.
Second.
Yep. What's the funny one?
Yes. August. Felice is dating August and she specifically wants to cleanse Felice and doesn't tell her that's what she's doing.
That's hilarious.
All right.
I think it's
The second one. This first one is too sad.
I want to believe it's the second one.
All right. Cut to Simon walking up the stairs of his father's apartment building. speaking of a sad one. Ringing the doorbell twice with no response, he tries the door to find it unlocked. He calls out a hello as he closes the door behind him and again gets no response. We hear that the TV is on as Simon heads further into the apartment, announcing that he wants to talk to his dad about Sarah. He calls out for his dad as he reaches the end of the entrance hallway and enters the living room. He sees something we don't as soft snoring fills the room. Walking over to a messy couch strewn with clothes, Simon looks over at what is clearly the slumbering form of his father, Micah. We cut to Simon turning his sleeping father onto his side, muttering, "You fucking drunk." Cut again to Simon stuffing his backpack with nearly every remaining pill in Micah's drawer. When he gets to the last bottle, seemingly empty or nearing being so, he briefly turns it around in his hand before putting it back and closing the drawer. He slings his backpack over his shoulder and heads right back out of the apartment. Smash cut to, please pardon the pun, August and Felice in August's room, smashing.
Oh, fucking hell. Jesus.
Smash cut to smashing.
Don't be like,
I'm sorry. I thought of it and I couldn't not include it because it was funny to me.
That was disgusting.
I am going to try to Margaret because part. I mean, Margaret has agreed to not take their earbuds out this time, but I'm going to try and make this summary as uncomfortable for all of us as this scene is to watch. But I know what.
This is.
But I know I will not succeed.
This is Ace Phobia.
We start up on a close-up of August inside Felice.
You're not even going to respond to that? Bitch.
Ew! Telling her not to push too hard as he's about to come. Amidst the... it's the dialogue, Margaret. Amidst the act, Felice reaches down to stimulate herself. August then proceeds to grab her wrist and put her arm back in its original position, away from her clitoris. Way to go, us. We pretty much definitely just demonetize ourselves on YouTube as if we make money on the show. Felice looks frustrated at the idea that August is going to finish before her. So, after a quick cutaway to show these two teenagers' legs in a tangle, we see Felice closing her eyes, fantasizing about something. But she bites her lips and starts to actually look like she's enjoying herself. Unfortunately, August notices and calls her out. Felice denies the accusation, but August knows what he saw. He pulls out, curses, and lays down beside her. He asks Felice if she is thinking of someone else. She says no. Now getting truly upset, August asks if she's not going to give him an answer. He keeps going, asking if she was thinking of Villa. Felice barely knows what to say to that, just sounding tired. August pivots to defending himself, embracing Felice from behind and insisting that he's had a lot going on lately. He doesn't know where that question came from. Blissfully, thus end this incredibly awkward and mildly traumatizing scene.
I'm scarred for life. Not from the scene, from you describing it.
I'm an aloe person who had to watch this 5 times. That's my context. That's my truth.
I don't like your truth.
I'm so sorry. Thank you for bearing with me. I needed someone to experience that with me.
I don't even know what fucking bullet point I'm on now. I don't even know where the fuck I am. 19
minutes and 46 seconds.
Oh, thank God. Okay. I'm going to talk about this in therapy.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're not. You're fucking proud of yourself. Look at you.
If I've genuinely upset you, I am sorry.
I'm going to throw up on this mic, and you're going to have to edit it.
Another throw up trigger warning.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know what?
Fair. Okay, in future, I'll let you take your earbuds out.
Thank you. I took them out twice, and I put them right back in because I remember they made you a promise. But it was a knee-jerk reaction, and then I put them back in.
Your promise. I'll never make you do it again.
Thank you.
Although, that is legitimately the most, arguably the most explicit sex scene in the entire show. So, doesn't mean much, I guess. But in terms of what we see on screen.
Yeah.
So sorry. That entire scene was an asexual nightmare, and I made you live in it way longer than we had to. Let's move on.
It's my villain origin story. Then we see students walking around the grounds of Valerska. Felice was walking to the room with the piano. I believe it's the same room that Eric's Memorial
was in.
Yeah,
I think it's like the lobby of the main building of the school or something like that. Or something.
Yeah. She's holding August by the arm, and Felice is very smiley as they go to meet her friends. The headmistress stops in front of them, puts a hand on August's arm, and says, "How sweet, I haven't seen you smile in a long time." August kind of smiles and looks down at Felice as Felice smiles and looks over at him. Vomit, sorry. That was in my notes too. It was two bullet points. They kiss when Felice is in front of her friends, and they say, "Wow, have I missed something? So you're like a couple now?" Felice is just kind of smiling, but it doesn't reach the eyes, and then shrugs. Stella says, "When did you like fall for him?" Frederica asks Felice to tell them more, and Felice just walks away as Frederica calls after her, "Come on, have you had sex yet?" Maddie asks if it was Royal. And then we
just
see
quick shout out. I haven't listened to much of it. There is an Royals podcast. I don't know how far they've gotten or if they're still releasing episodes, but there is one that's called "Was It Royal?" or like "Is It
is
Royal?"
It really?
Or something like that. Yeah, like based off of that line of Maddie's.
That's hilarious. It's
more
like
a fandom discourse podcast, I think, than an actual like summary like we do or like a discussion like that. Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh yeah. Okay. And then we see Simon walking up to the school building. We see that he's walking towards August, and August is doing burpees.
The push up and clap thing.
Yeah, it's the push up, and then you jump, and then you do.
The jump, not the clap thing. Yeah.
I mean, some people clap in a burpee, but the important part is push up and jump. It's hell.
Yeah.
That's the important part. Yes.
Yeah.
Simon calls his name and reaches into his backpack as August turns around. Simon looks around quickly, reaches into his backpack, takes out a package that rattles. He whips pills out of his bag. And Simon tells August that he has to sell it. August takes out one of the pill bottles and smiles at Simon. Simon says, "I'll give you a chance to pay me back." August tisks and says, "Are you kidding?" Simon puts his backpack back on while August tries to give them back to Simon. August says he won't do it, and Simon says, "Yes, you will," and takes a step backwards away from August. Simon says, "You will pay me back everything that you owe me." Some students start to walk by. August puts his arm down and smiles at them as they pass. Once they've passed, August says that he can't help him, to which Simon replies, "I guess it doesn't bother you that everyone will know." August asks what everyone will know, and Simon says that you're broke, or does it? August smiles, exhales, picks up the bag of pills that he had dropped when the students walked past, and gets real close to Simon's face and says, "You know what? Exams are coming up, so they'll be in demand. Sure, I will do it, and then you can shut the fuck up." Simon turns around and walks away quickly as August examines what's in the bag.
And then I think he has like this one moment of like, "Fuck, what have I got myself into?"
Yeah.
like a what is my life sort of thing, which honestly about damn time he had a, like, that kind of look on his face. All right. Cut to that night with Sarah waiting at the bus stop, presumably after working a shift at the stables. She watches as Felice approaches her, informing her that the last bus has already left. In an incredibly small voice, Sarah says that she knows. She's waiting for her mom. Sarah looks uncertain of how to act on Felice, keeping herself turned towards the road and only looking at her out of the corner of her eye. Felice joins her at the bus underneath the awning of the bus stop and says, standing on the other side of the overhang. Yes. Sarah asks if Felice is mad at her. Felice says yes. Sarah apologizes for what she did at the Parents' Day lunch. She had no idea. She never meant to. She was just being honest. Felice informs her that sometimes it's better not to say everything. Oof. Sarah admits that she wants to be friends again. Felice pulls her into a hug, saying, "Me too." Sarah blinks rapidly, unsure how to respond to this show of physical affection. Just then, Linda pulls up in the family car. Felice lets Sarah go and tells her she'll see her tomorrow. Sarah acknowledges that she will and simply says, "Bye." Cut to Felice walking back to her room with a smile on her face. Her face morphs to one of subtle confusion and annoyance, and she turns to Maddie, sitting on her bed, watching something on her laptop. Maddie throws up her hands up in surrender, insisting that he refused to leave. End quote. We cut to see August at Felice's desk, leaning on an elbow, looking quite comfortable in her space, as if he's been waiting there for a while. His only explanation? "You didn't answer." Felice questions whether he called her, checking her phone as August nods with a sour face, expecting something like this. "Sorry, it was on mute," she says. August notes something of import and rises from the desk to ask her where she got Villa's jacket. Felice tells him she bumped into him on the way to class, but forgot to return it. She's going to head over later on. August tells her no, he'll do it. As he reaches for the jacket, Felice says to wait, asking if he's mad. August gets defensive, insisting that he's not mad, he cannot finish the sentence. Felice asserts that they just talked. August says, okay, full of disbelief and clearly upset at his perception of that he's being lied to. She asserts that she and Villa talked about his brother. August turns again, becoming a different degree of mad. He declares that Eric was like a brother to him, and she knows that. She should be comforting him so he can comfort Villa. He demands the jacket, grabbing it from her and storming out of the room. Natalie finally risks a glance away from her computer, catching the eye of a beleaguered Felice. Outstretching her hands to emphasize how obvious the solution is, Maddie tells Felice in no uncertain terms, "Dump him."
Then we see August opening the door to get into the hall where Wilhelm's room is, and Wilhelm's guard is standing in front of his door. She puts her phone inside her jacket pocket. We see August is carrying Wilhelm's jacket, that he just got from Felice's room. Wilhelm's guard asks what she can help August with, and August says that he's returning his jacket. Wilhelm's guard points to the one in his hand and asks if it's this one. Then we see Wilhelm sitting on his bed on his phone, and he looks up towards the door. August says, "We're family, nothing to worry about." The guard says, "I see, I'll return it, I'll do it." August exhales and says, "Stubborn, I like it." And he tries to get through the guard one more time.
He tries to flirt with Malin. I can't believe it.
Yeah. Yeah.
God.
I mean.
Yeah.
He tries to kiss Sarah to get Felice's location in like three scenes, so.
Fair, fair, fair. Yeah. Anyways.
Where was I? The guard says, "I'll take it," again, and we see Wilhelm still looking up towards the door. August finally dramatically gives the jacket over to the guard, and she says, "Thank you." August says, "Tell him I was here," and walks away. Then it appears to be the next morning. We see Simon eating in like a common area in Hlaerska, and he gets a notification on his phone. And it's payments from August for 500, 700, 400, and $2, 200 kronas. Simon seems kind of shocked and looks over towards August, who's not looking at him, and kind of smiles to himself and puts the phone away. Then we hear, yeah, what's up?
No, sorry, no. I was trying to add those together in my head. You're good.
Then we hear Felice saying, I mean, it's so crazy. It's unbelievable. And then we see Wilhelm and Felice walk into the room where Simon is. As Felice is saying, I need to find that video. And Wilhelm replies saying, please do. They walk right past Simon as Wilhelm says, I'm sure you look great. And Simon just keeps eating. He doesn't really acknowledge it. Felice finds the video and Wilhelm asks to see it. Felice says, no, I look crazy. This whole time we just see Simon's reaction to it. Again, he's still just sitting there eating. He doesn't really... I think he's listening, but he doesn't acknowledge it by, like, reacting in any physical way.
Yeah.
Then we see Willem leaning over to look at Felice's screen as she's showing him something on her phone. They both laugh, and Willem says, seriously? No, you look really cute. Then we see August look over, absolutely fuming. Then we see Wilhelm and Felice from August's angle, where they're both, as they both laugh, and Wilhelm says, too cute, and Felice says, oh god, anyways, as she puts her phone away. We don't know what the video was that Felice is showing, but after the video, Wilhelm says they'll catch Felice later, and they part ways. August is still fuming, and plasters on a fake smile as Wilhelm walks closer. Then we see August walking into the stables where he runs into Sarah.
Sorry.
Yeah, what's up, love?
I just fucking growled into the microphone. I'm sorry, listeners.
Yeah, you did.
I'm just uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, I was uncomfortable too. You still made me listen to that. So,
well, I'm not taking my headphones off.
Good. You better not. Sarah says hi to August and asks where Felice is. Sarah says that she doesn't know, and August repeats that back to her. Says, you don't know? To which Sarah says, no. And August pulls out his phone saying she posted a picture saying she was here. Sarah offhandedly says, yeah, she does that sometimes. She posts stuff and adds a location, but she's actually somewhere else. August looks absolutely pissed. Sarah is unbothered and continues mucking out the stall. August says, with Willa? She's somewhere else with Willa? And babe's condescending. No one said Wilhelm. Sarah looks confused and says, what? Don't ask me. August walks into the stall Sarah's in and says, does she talk about Wilhelm a lot? Sarah's very confused and says, what do you really want? And August looks away, then looks back and says, has anyone ever told you you're really pretty? Sarah is confused and says, what? Then, no warning, August kisses her twice. Sarah looks grossed out. She laughs, and then, in like an uncomfortable way, and he kisses her again for longer. He steps back, smiles, and walks away, and Sarah just looks confused.
Literally, that look on August, that last look on August's face, he is never more punchable than in that moment.
Yeah.
To me, well, personally, I mean,
he's very punchable.
I might
in a
edit
lot
that
of the series.
Yeah, I might edit that statement later. But I'd
say I would legitimately beat him to a pulp in other parts of the series, though.
Fair, actually, very fair, very fair.
Kitty porn of your cousin. That's all I'm saying. That's unforgivable.
That's this episode, baby.
Yeah, it's unforgivable.
It's not a spoiler anymore. Anyways, okay. Yeah, listeners just got to hear, although actually, listeners might have heard it on bonus episodes, but they just got to hear Margaret say kitty porn in a mainline episode for the first time.
It was. He's 16.
I know.
That's kitty porn.
All right, let's go. Let's keep going. This episode is already going to be so fucking long. All right.
We have a weird fucking job, man.
we don't even get paid for this.
No, we don't.
Which... good. I think that'd be unethical.
It would be a little bit, yeah. We're just describing media that somebody else made.
Yeah, don't hold that against us if at some point we create a Patreon.
No, I think people can hold that against us.
Hey, remember that time when you said it would be like, it'd be like weird and unethical to pay you guys for the show? I'm like, yeah, what of it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, the economy's not doing well. My student loans are going to be due soon.
All right. I'm in grad school. Anyway, we're both in grad school.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
We got to make that coin.
Which not yet, but we will. At some point at the run of the show, there's definitely going to be a time where both of us are in grad school.
Yeah.
All right. Rough. Anyways, we then cut to Wilhelm walking down his hallway towards his dorm room, entering to rather quickly notice an envelope on his desk that wasn't there before. Opening it while looking for whoever could have put it here, he finds that it's a typed and folded note on Forest Ridge branded paper, which reads, "The palace at midnight tonight, strictly confidential. 11:30 p.m. a diversionary maneuver commences. Stand by." The note is signed, "The Society." Side note, heading it off before we ever even have to mention it in any other episode, Google Translate, at least, lists the definitions of Skaldkapet, my best attempt at pronunciation, as like every synonym of the word society that isn't society.
That's funny.
It's probably still the best word to translate it given the context, but I find that very funny, and Swedish listeners, correct me if you think it society doesn't really work, if you kind of know what it means connotationally. Anyways, after reading the note, Wilhelm looks around
Natasha
again.
Get us in the DMs, let us know.
After reading the note, Wilhelm looks around again, but still finds himself alone. Cut to Simon counting krona at the bottom of the stairs in his dad's apartment building, which I just had a flash of him going to a bank and just pulling out his drug money.
That'd be hilarious. But exactly, I mean, people who are like genuinely drug dealers have to do that as well.
Yeah.
Unless they like keep it.
Yeah.
In a soft drawer or something.
Yeah. After Simon's done counting, he sighs in relief at having enough to pay his father back. He heads up the stairs, cut to Simon ringing the doorbell and his father immediately opening the door. Simon holds out the money, softly telling his father, "Here." Mika proceeds to grab Simon by the wrist of his outstretched arm. Simon cries out in pain and asks what the fuck his dad is doing as Mika lets Simon go after tossing him into the apartment. Mika closes the distance between them, asking what the hell Simon's problem is. Simon backs up as his father gets too close, confused at the question. Mika grabs Simon by the chin, asking if he's using. Simon wrangles out of his grasp, asking what the fuck he's talking about. "My medication," Mika fires back. "You think I'm stupid? Where are they?" A bit of guilt flashes across Simon's face before he admits, "I sold them." Mika, full of renewed anger, grabs Simon by the front of his coat and pushes him towards his open closet and up against the wall. With one extra push, he lets go and stares at his son helplessly. He reaches for Simon's face, begging his son to tell him he's not using. Simon, on the verge of tears, asks him why the fuck does he care. Mika tells him the pill is a prescription. Doesn't he understand? He needs them in order to function. They're not recreational drugs. He knows it's for his ADHD. Simon almost mockingly asks his father if he thinks Simon is stupid. He knows Mika will use anything to get high or drunk. After a moment of silent and intense staring, Simon says, "You couldn't even stop abusing drugs for mine and Sarah's sake. You're so fucking pathetic." Thrusting the krona he owes into his father's chest, Simon runs out of the apartment with a look of pure righteous fury, marred by a deep family trauma. He slams the door behind him. Left alone, Mika closes his eyes in sad defeat and sighs, mad at his son, but so much more mad at himself. We cut to Simon with his yellow backpack, exiting the apartment building and heading out to walk through the Fruitbjörstad at night, headed for home.
Then we see Alexander as he's approaching Wilhelm's window and knocks on it. He calls out Crown Prince Wilhelm. Then we see Willa sitting on his bed with his phone. The only lights on in the room are these red LED lights. Willa puts his phone away, grabs his coat, and goes to the window, opens it, and climbs out with Alexander's help. Alexander says, "Let's go," and they start walking away down the grounds of Hlarska. They climb through a window of the palace, potentially the same window that he and Simon climbed out of at the party. I can't remember. I don't even remember if we see them climb out.
Yeah, it might be a different angle, but honestly, it might actually be like the exact same window. Like, I could see it being that.
It certainly looks like the window that Felice and Sarah climb out of, or are in front of.
Yeah, which I don't think is the same window.
That's less significant.
Yeah.
But it's that general area regardless.
Yeah. That's we can't get into semantics when this episode's going to be this long.
No, we can't. It's already almost an hour. They walk through the hallway and stop at a door. Alexander asks if Wilhelm has a key. Wilhelm asks if Alexander has one, to which Alexander says no. Using the light of his phone's flashlight, Willow opens the door to see August, Vincent, Henry, and three other boys standing in the room facing the door. The room is only lit by some candles and a few lamps. August says, "Welcome to the society." Willow says, "Thank you." And August asks Alexander to do something. He steps over to the other side of the table where the candles are. As August says, "We have unanimously voted in favor of offering you, Crown Prince Wilhelm, the seat that was formerly held by Prince Eric." Willow looks away, uncomfortable. August continues to say, "You only have to answer one question." Willow runs his hand through his hair and says, "Yes." August continues, "Do you solemnly swear, in accordance with the interests of our society, to work to prevent the extinction of this society's noble families?" What's up, love? Sounds like eugenics? You're right.
I am just livid right now.
Sounds like eugenics.
The society makes me not... Actually, I don't think it's irrationally angry. I think it makes me rationally angry.
It's rational.
As a person who cares about human decency. I am not joking.
Watson and Crick would be all over this society, though, let me tell you. They love eugenics. That's a little genetics.
A little biochem for you. For you.
It's not humor, it's sad.
Oh, yeah. Fair.
For the record, fuck Watson and Crick. Well, it looks like he's going to laugh and then gets serious again and clears his throat and says, "I do, I swear."
August catch the laugh.
What?
I didn't even catch that he like almost like laughs.
He smiles, like he like looks like he's going to laugh, and he's like, he, like trains
like
his
like am I getting punked or something like that?
Yeah. But then he's like, "Oh fuck, you're serious." August says, "Excellent. Alexander, we're ready to be served." Alexander takes off his backpack as Vincent walks up to Wilhelm and says, "Welcome." Wilhelm does laugh this time and says, "Thanks, Vincent."
All right. I don't often do this, but for how often it happens in this scene and how crazy this next scene gets, trigger warning, casual drug use.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Trigger warning.
That's going to be on this episode, but it needs, I think I want it in the I want it in the text. Dance music rises over Villa's official welcome to the society as we cut to a montage of the members of this secret club playing a drinking game around a poker table. Villa sits among them while Alexander stands apart from them near the far wall. August rolls a d6 die that falls onto the floor before deciding to do something different.
What the hell is a d6 die?
A six-sided die.
Oh,
can you tell him a Dungeons and Dragons nerd?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. When you play a game that has multiple sided, multiple different like different types of die, you distinguish them by the number of sides, and so you say D and then the number of sides.
Gotcha.
So yeah, six sided die is a D6.
Gotcha.
Yep. Shots of clear liquid sit in the middle of the table. August takes a shot and makes a face before revealing he's faking it, and the shot just had water in it. Villa makes nonsense noises. I don't know how else to describe it. He's just like babbling.
It's drunk babbling.
While shaking the dice, clearly already a little tipsy. And that's kind of an understatement.
A little?
He loses and is forced to take a shot. He grabs the nearest glass and raises a toast, slurring his words as he proclaims, "And here's to friendship." He knocks the shot back as everyone cheers. Through gritted teeth, he announces that one was booze. Everyone laughs. August calls for a refill as Wilhelm curses under his breath, slowly losing his faculties. Bill asks where the fuck Nils is, calling him by his full name, Nisa, as Vincent suggests that it's time to up the ante. Everyone, including Villa, cheers even louder than before as August smirks his approval. He orders Alexander to, quote, get the stuff that will take us to the moon. A little later, August explains the two criteria for membership in the society. One, you need to be of noble birth, and two, you need to be the firstborn male. This launches a raucous chant of noble and firstborn male, noble and firstborn male, noble and firstborn male, as the pills from Simon have officially been brought out.
Because everybody knows the one thing to give people who are mourning is alcohol and pills.
That's exactly what Brittany from Gaywatch said in her video.
Is it really? So,
yes. Basically, exactly.
It always she's like, mixes
she's,
really
she's like
well.
You don't give drugs to a grieving person. I wasn't pretty sure what she says.
Yeah, it mixes really well.
Yeah. Val
and
Wilhelm,
by really well, I mean horribly.
So, Val Wilhelm, I'm pretty sure he surreptitiously stuffs a bottle of pills into his jacket.
Yes, he does.
At this point. He does it like multiple times. August tries, but while he does this, August tries to make sure that he has Villa's attention and starts a discussion of the about the land owned by the other members. After some banter about how much land one of the boys' families actually owns, Vincent reveals that Nisei doesn't own shit. About regarding Nils, if you didn't catch that, that's Nils' full name apparently. August gives a little shrug, saying that Nisei is awesome, directly translating as savage. Him saying Nisei is savage. Yeah. But, like, I think savage in, like, the Gen Z way. I mean, in a way that Gen Z no longer says, but, like, you know. Somebody counters that Nisei is nouveau riche, or one of the new rich. Vincent remarks that Nils and those like him should find their own club.
Jesus Christ.
Which is in the English subtitles, but not in the English CC subtitles. Or isn't like one but not the other. And I initially caught that because I was translating the Swedish. Because I saw him saying something and the subtitles that I was working with didn't translate it, and I was like, wait, what? And then I checked one of the English subtitles, and they do have him saying that and confirm that that is what he said. August changes the subject, trying to get a word in edgewise until Vincent tells him to speak up. August finally tells Villa, all I'm saying is that we're all equally loyal to the monarchy and to him. Never forget that. Wilhelm redirects the attention now fully on him by rolling the dice and insisting that they move on with the game, which causes everyone to laugh. August shouts that they shouldn't just laugh off their loyalty to the royal family. Cut to Wilhelm popping a giant circular white pill as his fellow society members tell him he's looking good. And then we cut to Alexander being told to pack the drugs and hide them carefully. Wilhelm offers to help and in the process stuffs another sheet of pills into his jacket as casually as can be, all while dreamy synth music swells up over the transition into the next scene.
Okay, then we see Wilhelm and August peeing outside. We're just going to get right into it. Go piss, girl. We got two regular piss queens out here. And Anton's dead.
Moving on.
Wilhelm says that he's just going to fuck everything up. And August asks what he means. Wilhelm responds, I always do the wrong things, say the wrong things, and I'm lousy with names. I called the King of Belgium Rudolf. August laughs, Willa continues, and says, hi, Rudolf. August says, that's why you have me. I know everybody's name, just ask me. Willa says, do you want to trade places? And August says, sure, why not? Then gets real quiet, like he's actually thinking about it. They're still peeing.
they're very drunk and high, so they probably have really large bladders right now.
Yeah, Willa says, I used to egg him on always. Buy a fancy car. Why buy a fancy car if you don't want to drive fast and feel the wind blowing with the top down? I told him that. August says, I get what you mean. I felt exactly the same way about my dad. Willa says, everything's like upside down. I don't know how to act. What to feel. I shouldn't even be functioning as a human being because my brother is like dead and here I am partying. He's very visibly having a hard time saying this sentence, and August looks like he's going to cry, looking over at Willem. August says, "It's not your fault," and puts a hand on Willem and repeats it. And then he yells. Willem yells back, and then they're both just yelling into the void. Then we see Willem face plant into a fence. He's stumbling around very drunk. I, like, genuinely couldn't even describe all the things he does. He's very, very, very drunk.
Well, those who are in the know that this entire scene was improvised by Edvin, including the dialogue that comes later. So it just, yes. Like, it's just stuff's happening, and you gotta roll with it.
Go watch it. It's at the very, like, almost the very
last
end
10
of this.
Minutes or so.
Yep. Just go watch it. He's stumbling around very drunk. He's climbing on stuff, dancing, egging on a metal person. And he says to this metal person, "So you don't want to talk to me just because everyone knows who I am? You don't get to do that, okay?" And then he says, bam, and pushes over the metal person. And then he kicks a metal person, and he falls down and rolls over. And then he has a metal person over his head somehow. And then he gets sad again, looking at the pebbles in his hands.
Yeah, he's basically digging through the grass and looking at what is essentially fake, like, turf.
Yeah.
We hear the sound of a phone vibrating, and we cut to Simon's bedroom, where he's been woken up in the middle of the night by someone calling him. He pulls his phone from underneath his pillow. It seems to be from an unknown number, based on his, like, the reaction on his face. He answers it with a blurry hello. On the other end, Wilhelm whispers Simon's name. Instantly, Simon bolts upright in bed, asking again, "Hello? Who is this?" Sorry, I gulped air. I'm breathing so heavily. Okay. Instantly, Simon bolts upright in bed, asking, "Hello? Who is this?" The voice that Simon has yet to recognize tells him, "I really like you." Finally, Simon says, "Villa, is that you?" Still whispering like he's telling him a secret, Villa says, "Yeah, I found it out. You see, everything is just fake. It's all fake. Everything in the world is fake. That's just how it is. The grass on the soccer field is not actual grass." Simon says Villa's name, but he doesn't seem to. But the crown prince doesn't seem to hear him. Villa continues, "It's just plastic. I mean, it's really bright, even though it's the middle of the night. It's night. I know that much. But why is it so bright?" Simon parses through all of what Willem is saying and asks the relevant question. "You're on the soccer field?" Willem simply responds, "Mm-hmm, exactly." I love it.
Concerning.
I love it in the Swedish. It's, mm-hmm, exakt.
This just in Swedish hits so fucking, I mean, it's hard in English, but it hits so fucking hard.
It is why, no disrespect to people who do it, because I get there are probably listeners who do it, but we are firmly subs, not dubs.
Yeah.
Like, I have not listened to barely any of the show dubbed because I love subs so much. Cut to Simon biking as hard as he can through the streets of Bjarstad as the beat drops on the song Revolution by Elias. Or Elias. I don't actually know how to say that.
I think it's Elias.
We're gonna go with Elias. Villa's call continues in voiceover. He says, "None of the people are real. They're just pieces of metal." A brief view of Villa laying on his side in the middle of the soccer field. The voiceover continues, "But I really like you, and that is very real." Cut up close on Villa's face, laying against the plastic grass and staring out blankly at nothing. Simon has arrived at the soccer field and is shouting Villa's name. He bikes his way onto the field, then abandons the bike to run towards Wilhelm. A shot from Villa's perspective as Simon runs up, his eyes wide in panic. Simon grabs onto Villa, gripping the sides of his face and asking him what he did. "You came," Villa says, surprised. Simon keeps questioning him, demanding to know if he is high and asking him what the hell he's on. He orders Villa to sit up. Meanwhile, Villa is still in disbelief that Simon actually came for him and says as much. Simon shouts at Villa, "What did you do?" And Villa thanks him for coming, reaching out to touch his face. Simon bats away all of Villa's attempts to do so, cursing at him until Villa exclaims that Simon is so beautiful. Villa asks if Simon is mad at him. Simon tells Villa to just get up, supporting him to his feet and guiding him towards his bike. Villa is still hung up on the fact that Simon came. Turning towards Simon, who is supporting him with one arm, and pulling him into a full embrace as he hugs Simon for dear life. After a short while, Simon says, "That's enough," and pushes Villa away. Villa keeps an arm clasped to Simon's shoulders as Simon tells him to pull himself together. Even as Villa attempts to clamber on top of Simon's back before Simon even gets onto his bike, Villa is still thanking Simon for coming. But Simon tells Villa to get off of him. Villa does and says, "I'm sorry," but Simon keeps a hand on him and tells Villa to hold on to him as they walk off the soccer field into the distance. Simon with his bike on one side and Villa on the other. Revolution by Elias continues, fading into the next scene.
Hang on.
30 out of 4.
Yep. I know. I was just scrolling down.
Yeah.
I need everybody to know that I know how beautiful of a scene this is. However, I'm also the most Arrow-ace person I've ever met. And so describing it makes me want to crawl out of my skin. Do I know this scene is beautiful? Yes. Do I love this scene? Yes. Will I describe it well? Absolutely not. So we're all just on the same boat.
Sorry, guys. This scene will not sound as beautiful as it is. I mean, go to our disclaimer being like, this is infinitely better portrayed on the show. But in order for me, I felt right that I had the ending of this based on what happens. And so that means that Margaret has this scene.
Yeah. And I know it's beautiful. I know it's sweet. I know this scene is perfect. I do know that. And I love this scene. I cannot describe sex in detail or intimacy in detail. I just can't. Yeah. So that's my disclaimer. Just go watch it. And then you can come back to Anton's analysis of what happens next. Okay. Then we see Simon waking up in Willem's bedroom. He was sleeping, sitting at the foot of Willem's bed while Wilhelm is sleeping, actually laying down. Mm-hmm. He checks his phone and has a text from Sarah asking where he is. Simon starts getting his shoes and Wilhelm wakes up. Wilhelm stops him from leaving and apologizes for last night. Simon sits back down the bed as Wilhelm sits up, so he's next to Simon. Simon says it's okay, and Wilhelm says that he wants Simon to hold him. Simon puts his arm around Wilhelm and rests his forehead to Wilhelm's temple and asks, "How are you?" Wilhelm exhales, smiles a little, and then says, "Better." They sit there like that for a while, Simon moving his hands on Wilhelm's shoulders, and Wilhelm asks if he can stay until he falls asleep again. Simon nods his head and says, "Yeah." So Wilhelm grabs his hand from around his shoulder and lays down behind Simon. Simon has his head on one of Wilhelm's arms and is holding Wilhelm's hand with his hand as Wilhelm's other hand is around his torso with Simon's other hand on top of it.
Essentially, Simon is a little spoon, Villa is the big spoon.
Yes. Simon is rubbing Wilhelm's hand when he asks if Wilhelm remembers what he said to him last night. Wilhelm gets uncomfortable and very quickly sits up, clearing his throat, and Simon rolls over to face him and says, "Willa, it's okay." And Wilhelm smiles and buries his head into Simon's stomach and is embarrassed. Simon puts a hand over Willem's head and says, "I like you too." And Wilhelm pulls his head away.
Oh, God. You're doing good. You're doing good.
I don't think I am.
This is way less clinical than I was expecting. Keep going.
Oh, just wait. Wilhelm pulls his head away and looks at Simon as Simon is brushing Wilhelm's hair out of his face. Wilhelm moves the covers out of the way and climbs over Simon. They kiss. Simon runs his hand down Wilhelm's body. They take their pants off. That's all you're getting from me, folks. That's all I can do.
That's literally what happens, and that's
it is what happens, and I'm not getting any more descriptive.
All right, Now you have an owl person at the driver's seat. Buckle up.
Oh, fuck. Do I have to keep my earbuds in for this one too? It's kiddie porn.
I know, but it's such a pivotal scene. I want to hear you. I'm really proud of this summary.
Ugh, okay. But August is doing kiddie porn.
Okay. Cut to outside of Forest Ridge. In the reflection of Villa's window, we see August approaching the building. He knocks on Alexander's window. Not receiving an immediate response, he whispers a simple, "Alex!" And then, at almost full voice, he calls out Alexander's name again. We cut back inside Villa's room, confirming that these events are happening at the same time. Villa and Simon... Fuck! I'm kidding.
Villa and Simon, they do. Next.
Villa and Simon kiss at the same horizontal position as before. As they smile at each other and start to make out, Wilhelm proceeds to run a hand across Simon's side, down his abs, and extending and ending at Simon's crotch as he starts to rub it. We cut back to August, texting Alexander, asking, "Where are you?" Having not received a response, August looks down further along the dorm's exterior wall. A thought seemed to occur to him. Villa's new room is near Alexander's. Cutting back to Wilhelm and Simon, Villa's hand is now fully in Simon's underwear, either continuing to rub or possibly pull.
Oh, Jesus.
I told you, Al presents the wheel. I'm describing what's happening. We then cut to Villa shifting focus, kissing his way across Simon's chest from his clavicle to his solar plexus. Cut outside again, and August has made it to Villa's window. He looks inside, spotting Villa from behind, shirtless and making out with someone passionately in his bed. The other person's head, assumedly that of a girl to August, hidden by Villa's head. He smiles, unable to keep from softly laughing, clearly finding the situation hilarious, muttering, "The Crown Prince," sounding both impressed and disbelieving. He looks down at his phone. We hear him press record on his video camera as we cut to him lifting his phone up to the window, keeping himself out of sight, but making sure to capture what he's seeing inside his second cousin's room.
Can I please interrupt you here?
Yeah?
I know that August is the worst human. Mm-hmm. I know that. How does OMG, my cousin is kissing something, translate to OMG, I'm going to take a video of this? I've never been a straight boy.
I think... in a weird roundabout way, we do get what August's thought process is here much later.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say when for fear of spoilers, but...
Yeah. But, I mean, it's kiddie porn.
He's not thinking of it like that.
Why can't we get rid of this part of the scene? Why can't we edit this out? Why can't we edit it out and just have a very beautiful moment between our two boys where they're happy... And there's no kiddie porn via cousin.
We see it through August's camera as he watches through the footage in progress. Villa has begun another slow series of kisses down Simon's body, revealing Simon's face to the camera and to August, who zooms in on the socialist boy to make sure he's right. August stops recording in a panic as he recognizes, without a doubt, exactly who Villa's hooking up with. He drops the phone to his side and steps away from the window. His expression is frantic, at a loss for what to do with this information, and the evidence he's just gained. August's mind reels as we see all of the implications of just a sexual relationship between the Crown Prince of Sweden and a social democratic male commoner begin to hit him. Cut to black. Possibly the rudest ending of them all. The implications all around. Damn you, Lisa. This is so stupid of August and so smart of Lisa. It actually makes me angry how good it is.
Yep. I said it 20 seconds ago and I'll say it again. Why can't we edit the part where he takes a video of his cousin out so we can just leave it on a nice, beautiful moment?
Because this...
Why can't I live in that
delusion? Because everything's different now.
But I would like to live in that delusion.
The fact that more fan fictions edit out Eric's death than edit out the video is saying something.
That's true. I never really
thought about that. The fact that people see this video as more essential to the series as the death of Wilhelm's fucking brother. It is. It is.
It is more essential to the series.
Like, I say that Eric's death is like when the show becomes the show.
But it's kind of when we see this video. Like, Eric says this when we see the show become the show, but this video is like when we see the implications of what the show is going to be.
Yes. I would say it's when like the show becomes the show, but this doesn't literally make sense, but I feel like the video is when Young Royals becomes Young Royals.
Yes.
Young Royals becomes what Young Royals is.
Yes. I liked that. That was good.
Yeah. But this is already definitely, almost certainly, our longest This Week of Letters Cup. So do you want to take us out?
I would love
sorry,
to.
Sorry to leave you in the dust, guys.
I was posting something on our threads, though.
Yeah.
I was live threading. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to keep up to date with when we release new episodes and other pod-related announcements, you can check out our Instagram, @PeopleDon'tTalkAbout, or our threads. I'm going to try to post there more. Right now, I do every time we record.
I'm trying,
so look out for that.
I'm trying to be on Margaret's Ask About It a little bit more and be a little bit more
But
gentle. But
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
You don't have to be. Our next episode will be The Revolution for season 1, episode 4. So stay tuned. And with that, all that's left to say is,
let's start a revolution, baby.